This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Successful business leaders understand the importance of their company's brand, and they also realize that building and maintaining a strong brand identity is not just the job of the marketing department. Every employee should understand and reinforce that brand. Joining us to discuss how companies maintain and promote their brand identity are Group Director with LPK Brand Design Agency, Matt Fern, LaRosa's Executive Director of Human Resources, Steve Brown, Chief Business Development Officer and Director of Marketing at Graydon Law Firm, Paul Darwish, and Consumer Clarity CEO and Founder and VP of Strategic Alignment for American Marketing Association Cincinnati, Dennis Devlin. And you can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dennis, I'll throw the question out to you first, and we'll just get the discussion going on this. How important is it to get all your employees on board in terms of creating that culture and that brand identity for a company?
It's extremely important, Mark. I think that you have to make sure that they, quote-unquote, live the brand in their everyday operations, both internally and externally, in order to make sure that the brand is conveyed properly.
You know, one of the interesting things in this particular segment, we have guests from a restaurant chain, a law firm, and two branding agencies. So any business that has a brand here, Steve, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You have to promote and protect that brand no matter what industry.
Absolutely. I think it's important that the employees understand how much they reflect who we are, what we do, regardless of industry. So understanding how that affects them, it actually helps their job when they're more tied to the organization, knowing that they're part of the brand, not just an employee.
Yeah. Matt, how many companies don't have a real brand ID or don't properly convey this to their employees in the first place?
Probably more than you would want. You know, we work with companies who obviously need our expertise in helping them develop a brand, but we are a brand as well. And how we recruit and retain employees is really important. And we need to make sure that we help them understand what the values are that we believe in. And that's what ties us together as we, you know, grow our organization as well. So it's a critical element as organizations we work with to make sure that they start within their organization to help build that brand on the inside, and then they go outward as they progress into the global marketplace.
Does the brand come out of the company's mission statement?
It's one place to start, definitely. It's also making sure the vision is something that people are rallying behind, and it's also something to make sure that the values, again, as I mentioned a minute ago, are correct and true and actionable so that people can understand why they're all a part of this one effort.
And Paul, as far as marketing for a law firm, I mean, how important is branding for a law firm?
Well, we recently went through a rebranding. The firm moved offices after 50 years on Fountain Square in the Fifth Third Building. We moved to the Scripps Building. And as part of that move, we also took a deep dive into our brand and created a new website. And it was fun to kind of do a deep dive into the brand and really talk to clients, talk to people that had been with the firm for 40, 50 years to really get a sense of who we are as a firm. If you look at most law firm websites, they all tend to look alike, to be honest with you. But one of the things we discovered as we talked more about a brand and talked to more people about who we are is that we're deeply connected to the community. So we're the oldest general practice firm in town. We've been around since 1871. And so this theme of being connected to the community, being connected to our clients, being connected to one another is really the major theme that came out, and we're really trying to live that now day to day. So it was a fun experience for us to go through.
Okay, so the connection to the community, that's your company's brand? That's how you...
Yeah, and being connected to one another as well, connected to our clients, connected to our peers, connected to the legal community. Yeah,
and that's a good point. As far as your employees being like the front line of taking your brand, they're brand ambassadors, aren't they? They take the company's image out there and carry it.
Definitely. I think that the more that your employees identify with the company and they can live it, the more connected they are. If they're more connected, they're more engaged. And every employer is preaching engagement right now as part of their fabric of their brand because we want to retain people. So the more that they find their identity in the company through the brand, it just helps retention. It's a foundation of what you need to have.
Yeah. What's LaRosa's brand? How do you describe that?
best pizza on the planet. I think you know that.
But and you know it sticks. It works.
It does. It does. We're a family pizzeria.
Should be bold.
Yeah.
You know, we're a family pizzeria. I would say our brand is more family oriented. The experience that people have, we believe in reach out and make smiles, and we want people to have a great guest experience. So when they have that, they identify that.
Dennis, you hit on something good there. I mean, branding can run the range of a lot of different things, but being a little bold doesn't hurt, does it?
It doesn't. But it's only going to work for certain companies and organizations where it really benefits them to be bold in their particular industry or category. And it also has to reflect their personality or their brand. It may not work well for some organizations or some companies.
Steve, you're in human resources. What's the role of human resources in creating branding?
It's interesting. People try to separate employer brand and company brand, and really they've kind of melded together. And so HR has to have a good understanding of what marketing does and how they function.
Is culture a better word than brand, do you think?
Culture is a lot better.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, I understand how people identify it or quantify it as an employer brand, but culture is what people come to a company for, what they stay at a company for, and why they leave. So culture is a big driver for us.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join us, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So how do you get employees engaged in this whole process?
It's a really good question. There's lots of different opportunities. You know, something we do at LPK is we have a thing called Passion Pitch, and we allow employees to essentially create their own project, if you will, and pitch it to the organization. We're an employee-owned company, so for us, it's really important to make sure that the employee feels connected and that they're in this together. And so they can literally come to a day and present their creative idea. It could be, you know, a rooftop garden. It could be helping nonprofits in the community, et cetera. But it gives them that feeling of, this isn't just a job. This is something I can come to and bring my own passion to it and get other people rallied around the same idea.
Yeah, now LPK is in the business of helping other people with their brand identity.
Yes.
What's your brand?
You know, our brand is really about creating extraordinary experiences, quite frankly. And that's a fairly broad brushstroke, but you can boil it down to helping organizations find who they are, what they do, and why they matter, and doing that in a very creative, experiential way.
Yeah. Dennis, what's your advice for getting employees engaged in the process? How would you approach it?
Well, it is a sometimes compounding question, but I think that you have to really give them some sort of ammunition in order to fully understand what the brand's about. You know, one of our panelists today mentioned about a very long-term law firm and going through a rebranding exercise. You know, focused on the community, both internally and externally. And connectedness. I think that you have to convey sort of the results of that rebranding in order for them to become engaged and be able to incorporate it in their everyday work.
Steve, what about you? How do you get your employees engaged at La Rosa's?
I think it's through communication and behavior, not just you have to equip people of what to do, because every time they go somewhere, every time they interact with a guest, they're representing our brand. So it can't just be a big wish list and a big program. It has to be, how can we make this a day-to-day behavior? And the better we can help them communicate, the more positively they'll just be themselves, because we have good people, as most companies do. And if they're great people, they'll represent you well.
Yeah. Paul, how does Graydon approach this?
You know, storytelling is a very important part of our culture. Not just because of our long history, but if you go to our website, one of the unique features on our website is we have a very talented writer that we bring in, and he interviews each of our attorneys for about an hour and then sort of summarizes their life story in 750 words and really personalizes them. So in some cases, we'll talk about the attorney that grew up with 10 siblings on a farm with no indoor plumbing. Or another attorney who's adopted multiple kids. And so as people come to our website, it gives them a chance to connect with our attorneys on a more human level. And again, that's an important part of our brand. at grade and is being more accessible. And we've tried to reflect that in our space as well. So the new space that we have versus where we were is much more open, fosters collaboration, brings people together more frequently. So, again, we're trying to live that brand in the culture day to day in terms of how we behave.
How tough was it for Graydon to rebrand itself? What was that process like?
It was an enjoyable process. You know, you asked how do you get your employees engaged. We did a full day offsite where we invited 30 of our folks to engage in the process of understanding who we are more deeply. The branding firm, Kelly Kolar, and her firm did a great job with us. They walked us through some interesting exercises. So some of the time we talked about words that sort of expressed how people felt about the firm, and other times we looked at visuals, you know, which of these photographs best expresses how you feel about the company and the brand. So it was a good 6-month project, and our folks were really engaged, and I think the outcome has really energized the 150 people that work at Graydon.
Yeah. Matt, Graydon's just gone through this rebranding. How often do companies need to rebrand themselves, to change their culture?
Sure. It really depends. A lot of times there's a catalyst or there's a moment in time that happens.
As in Graydon's case.
Yeah. In Graydon's case, new leadership, new vision, organizations need to pivot or evolve with the times, certainly is a cause for a rebrand. Sometimes there's an acquisition or a merger that takes place. And sometimes, quite frankly, unfortunately, you hear in the news about organizations that, you know, you asked the question earlier, do all organizations or places need a brand? And the reality is you have one whether you like it or not. Hopefully it's a good one, but it's your reputation. And if your reputation is not so great, then you certainly want to make sure that you pivot and you start to head in a different direction. And branding can certainly be a big part of that.
Yeah, so reputation, trust is a big part of the brand. If you have an employee who violates that trust, just how damaging can that be?
Wow. That's a big question.
And you hope it never happens on your watch, right?
You hope it never happens. There's examples where employees could do something inadvertently or intentionally and really damage the brand. I can remember a while back, so this is not our brand, Burger King had a person take a bath in a sink.
Oh, yeah.
In the back of the house. And then they posted it all over social media and everyone went, oh my gosh, I'll never eat at Burger King because if that's what you allow. So something that could be simple as a prank, it's a much harder time now. We have bigger social responsibility as companies with our employees, and it really affects our brand. And it's more of a fabric of who we need to be socially, both through communications and platforms and how we act in the community. It's no longer inside the four walls. I think brands used to be very internal before. Now they're more global.
And that's an interesting point, Paul, that with the social media today, it's a lot tougher job to protect your brand. There are a lot more things that can happen that can damage your image, aren't there?
It is, and I think one of the important points is, or one of the benefits of being very clear about who you are as a brand and as a culture, is that people that don't fit tend to feel uncomfortable and will leave on their own accord more times than not. So the more often you can reinforce the values that you stand for and the vision that you stand for, the better job you can do of creating the kind of culture with people that buy into those values and vision.
How important, Steve, is peer-to-peer training and establishing the culture and the image of a company?
I think it's very important. People model what they see. So if they're treated well, and the values have to come off the wall and into the soul of the people, and they can't just be, you know, a lot of neat posters or handbooks or things like that. So peer-to-peer training is big. Mentoring, coaching, it's less formal than it used to be. It's much more conversational than it now. I actually like seeing that happen, seeing people develop.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us, and let's talk to Steve. Hi, Steve. Go right ahead.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
How you doing? I called earlier about my dyslexic, but I'm not talking about that now.
Okay.
I had my own S Corporation. I was in Florence for over 40 years. I taught at Diamond Oaks, and my body gave out, so I went to work for Home. I ain't going to tell you.
Yeah, don't mention. Yeah, and just be quick with your point. Yeah.
But anyway, I had this test they gave me, and they came back and said, you failed three of these questions. And I said, let's go over. And I called the manufacturer. I happened to have their phone number on me. And it turned out that their answers were wrong. And their excuse was, well, that's what the suppliers want. Now, my aggravation with that is I've always been honest with people. They work hard for their money, and they deserve the truth. And this company could not understand
how important honesty and truth were as part of your whole brand image.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I grew up with that. And they said, well, that's what the suppliers want. I said, I'll just care about what the customers want.
Steve, thank you. You make a great point there, and I want to bring that up with the panel, that your brand, your culture has to be legitimate. It has to be genuine and sincere, doesn't it?
And there's that saying, Mark, that, you know, the customer's always right, but sometimes the customer's not a good fit. And so sometimes it's okay to agree to sort of part ways with certain customers that perhaps have different values than you do. And so, again, by being clear about who we are as a brand and as a culture and how we'd like to behave day to day, we tend to attract those kind of clients as well.
Yeah. Is trust the number one quality for any one business, Steve?
I think integrity is.
Integrity. Good word. Yeah.
Trust is one of those things. It's either given or earned, but integrity is something that you can perform to. And integrity is something that can be different within different organizations. It's still very solid. It could happen in design or law firms or restaurants. It can happen anywhere.
Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But trying to make it more actionable is really the key piece to that point, where it needs to fit within that organization. And that's where authenticity comes into play. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you're authentically living the values that you want to behave and you emulate so that others in your organization live up to those as well.
Yeah, Dennis, I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I was thinking about the authenticity piece as well. I think that you have to. There's just a more of a demand from customers that your organization be authentic and also transparent in the way it does business. Customers are much more. They're much better informed than they used to be. And they require and demand more of companies than used to be the case. And so we have to respond in an effective manner in that regard. We have to be open, it'll benefit us as a result.
Yeah, do you think employees are the best front line for spreading the brand message?
Well, they serve as ambassadors for the brand, essentially. You know, they are going to be the ones who make it authentic. You know, they're going to be the ones that are going to have the interactions with customers. And so, you know, when you're a brand, and I made a reference very early on in the conversation today about being, you know, living the brand, you want your employees to authentically live the brand. And so every interaction you have with a customer or a prospective customer is an opportunity to live that brand. And so they do serve as a front line in that way.
Do you think that that getting your employees engaged in this and getting them to sign on to the image and the culture of your corporation, does that lead to happier employees? Does that lead to more productive employees? Has that been your experience, Steve?
Absolutely. I think you'll see that companies are focusing much more on retention than they were just hiring. Now it's, I want you to stay on purpose. I like what Matt said earlier. If we don't infuse the brand into our employees, they're going to have a brand anyway. So why not have our intentional message that goes to them versus having them make it up and fill in the blanks? So the more we're in front of them to make that happen, it just makes them better employees for us.
Yeah. Does living the brand, as Dennis calls it, does that start with a job interview, you think? Get them in the door, and right away you start them. You start them at that point.
I think it starts with recruiting.
Yeah.
Even before the interview, it's like you want to attract people to come and make the choice. Like Paul said, they either come in because they will see themselves there and they see it as a fit. So it comes. You know, you have to be attractive. You have to date people to get them to come in.
Yeah, Matt, you're shaking your head. So.
Yeah. Well, you definitely want to find the people who share the same values and you think are going to be a cultural fit. You mentioned earlier about. You know, the folks that don't seem to be a good fit for the organization, they tend to notice that pretty quickly. You want to make sure that as you're recruiting, and we do a big job of really attracting and finding the people who we feel are going to fit the culture. And you know, as a global organization, you know, we want to make sure our other offices are emulating those same values. And so for us, it's critical that to get that consistent brand out in the world, we got to make sure that the people we're bringing in are the ones who are are the best fit.
Yep.
And it can be a delicate dance, though, because on the one hand, you want people that buy into your values and your culture. You know, those things are really non-negotiables. Yet on the other hand, you want to celebrate and invite in, you know, diversity and inclusiveness. And one of the things I think we do well at Graydon is really celebrate the whole person. So again, if you go to the website and you'll read people's stories, you also see interesting photographs of people doing things they love to do, be it hunting or baking or gardening. And again, so being able to celebrate people for who they are beyond just attorneys is an important part of our culture. Yet coming back to the values and who we are as a firm, those things are non-negotiable.
If you're working for a company, they haven't started down this path yet of creating this culture and creating this strong brand, what's the first step?
You know, it's interesting. Jim Collins is one of my favorite business authors. He wrote a book called Built to Last, and he talks about values as being discovered as opposed to created. So it really tends to grow out of the founder or founders of a firm and the things that are important to them. So I think a good way to uncover your values is by talking to people that you work with, talking to clients, talking to people in the community that have a sense of who you are, and having them sort of reflect back to you the experience that they have of you and your firm.
Yeah. Steve, what would you say would be the first step?
You have to identify who you are, who you want to be, because you can't be everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. So it has to be more defined as this is who we're comfortable being and this is how we're going to exist. So once you develop an identity, then you'll start drawing people in that say, I can add to that, I can bring my value to that, I can bring my strengths to that. But really having that self-awareness of what you are as an organization leads to discovering your values.
And Dennis, give us the details on the event that AMA has coming up by, what is it, next Wednesday, the 22nd?
That's right. It's Wednesday the 22nd at the Cintas Center on Xavier University's campus. It starts at 11:30, and it's a luncheon. We'll have all three of our panelists today back and speaking to this issue of internal branding. There's really two main themes that we're going for, talking about the role of marketing and brand and culture and employee engagement, and then secondly, the role of employees in brand advocacy and social voice. So we're excited about having them. You can clearly see that they are well-versed in this topic, so we expect a great event.
And is there a website for more information?
AMACincinnati.org.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us.
Yep. Thank you.
Group Director with LPK Brand Design Agency, Matt Fern, La Rosa's Executive Director of Human Resources, Steve Brown, Chief Business Development Officer and Director of Marketing at Graydon Law Firm, Paul Darwish, and Consumer Clarity CEO and Founder and VP of Strategic Alignment for AMA Cincinnati, Dennis Devlin. And we do have a link to information about the AMA event that's coming up next week, March 22nd. That's at WVXU.org.